Avenue Northfield.
It's 7:23 on a Wednesday morning. Last night, the Northfield City Council met for a work session, and the big topic really that dominated the whole conversation was potentially a new ice arena. And we have City Administrator Ben Martig joining us, as well as the Public Works Director and City Engineer Dave Bennett. Gentlemen, first of all, thank you so much for coming in today.
Morning.
Morning.
It has been a new ice arena has been talked about in Northfield pretty much since the old one was built back in the 1970s. And it seems to be getting some momentum at this point. Let's kind of backtrack to get to where we started last night. There has been a committee that has been doing some investigative work and some groundwork leading into this. Give us a little bit of that process.
Sure. Thanks, Jeff. So really, since really over the last 19 months, the former Mayor Dana Graham, and then continued under Mayor Ronna Punnell, the Northfield Ice Arena Advisory Board was established, and really that's made up a kind of a broad spectrum of users and community members. And I can kind of run through and share some of those members. So they've been meeting since August of 2016. So really from like the business community and the chamber, we have Brett Reese. He is the chair of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Bornhauser, Jeff Hasse, and then we've had throughout this process had St. Olaf College at the table the entire time working through the process. So Jan Hansen, Ryan Bowles, and Mike Ludwig over there. We've also had the school district involved. Tom Groutman, who's now retired, but Tanya Will took over for his spot. And then we also have Hockey Association members. So Chris Sorensen, Jim Frischer, Chris Canelli at the table. And then the Northfield Skate School, really, with the Learn to Skate Community Education Skating Program, Carrie Tinklenberg, and some city staff members, really reviewing and looking through the options. And Brett, really, as the chair, did a great job really keeping the board, everybody on track. And really, at every meeting, we really went through and read the mission. So really serve as an advisory board to assist and guide staff in a thorough review of the current ice arena conditions, assess needs and demands, evaluate costs and alternative facility options, resulting in a recommendation to be presented to City Council. So really the last 19 months has built up to the recommendation that was presented last night to Council.
Now, during that time, you had mentioned St. Olaf. St. Olaf, are they still at the table? They're building their own arena on campus. What do they have still a role in this at all, or what about St. Olaf?
Yeah, so really, throughout the process, we knew that St. Olaf was considering doing something, so we looked at the partnership opportunity, and knowing that they've broken ground in their Skoglund Hall and their facility, and they're underway, and that certainly was an option throughout, so the process was the partnership with St. Olaf.
So moving forward, St. Olaf is not really a part of the process? Are they still part of the process at all, or...?
So Dave can go through some of the options, but there were four primary options with one kind of wrinkle to that.
Sure.
And one of those options being recommended is the is partnering with St. Olaf. So that was one of the options that were presented.
Okay. Why don't we do that? You were presented with those, Bennett mentioned four options last night. Mm-hmm. What are the options?
Sure. So really where we started is really looking at the existing community arena. So one of the things with the ice, so the EPA is phasing out the R22, which is the refrigerant that runs and keeps the ice going. So after 2020, it's not going to be produced. So you can still buy supplies on the market, but there's going to be a time when we have to convert the system, and there's big dollars to do that conversion. So that was really one, and then really just look at the arena and identify all the items that would need to be repaired over the next year. So that was really the first component of the review, and then we worked with a national firm that specializes in recreation and operations, Ballard and King, to really look at the local ice market around here and what's going around in other communities, and really arrive at what are the needs and the demands at the arena. And that's where we, you know, through that process, that's where it was identified that locally we're at 150% of one facility. So you only have, so that would be in the ice season, right? So the season runs from October to March. So we're at 150%. So there's 50% really not being captured right now and not being provided to the community. So that was a key component of the review and the study. Then we went into like an economic impact analysis of ice usage within the community and talked about what the impacts are of that recreational activity in the community. And then we dove into really the facility options. So one is just really maintain status quo, just keep the ice arena as it is and keep it operational, not do any changes. We looked at an expansion and remodeling at the existing site. So parking lot expansion to try to get as close to as modern as you can with the facility, to try to bring it up to a modern facility. Then the third option was to partner with St. Olaf. So is there an opportunity to add a community sheet on the north side of Skoglund Hall? So that was option three. And then really the fourth option was a new single sheet facility. So that was the Northfield Hockey Association has received land donated, 7 acres of land south of Upper Lakes Foods or over by Quick Trip and Arby's. So there's vacant land over there. So they've received that land and look at really a one sheet or a two sheet community arena at that location.
And those, I was kind of taken aback by the price tags. They're not getting any cheaper at this point, but it is what it is. What are the numbers we're looking at?
Sure. So under all the options, so to maintain the existing arena, so with throughout the next 10 years, and a large portion of that cost is related to replacement of the ice system. So that's $1.3 million over the next 10 years, just really to keep the existing facility as it is and operational. Option two was to look at the remodel and the expansion, added parking lot on the north side. That is a $7 million investment into that facility. Partnering with St. Olaf, so looking at connecting to their building. So it's almost like building a standalone sheet that connects. We'd have our own lobby, own entrance area, just the way that building is set up. That option, and also with that option, we'd have to build a road out to North Avenue. So the road cost is around $1.5 million. The facility is about $15.7 million. So a total project cost of over $17 million for the St. Olaf option. And then a new community one-sheet arena is $15.7 million. And then the recommendation from the board is really the two-sheet community arena at $21.2 million.
And this, and we'll get Mr. Martin in on this, as far as, the appetite from the council, do they seem to, you got a recommendation to go with plan number four, and that's certainly not a cheap option, but none of them are. Does there seem to be any momentum for these? Is the council, do you think, it seems like they're going to agree with that?
It would be scheduled for the first meeting in May that we're getting okay. Formal direction from the councils. They were mainly receiving information last night. I think one thing related to this project is it would require a public vote. So there'd be a couple of questions posed to the Northfield voters. I mean, we didn't get into the financing yet, but on the recommendation, what we're looking at is a combination of a regional sales tax that would be put into place. It would be a 0.5% sales tax that would be in Dundas and in Northfield. So we need to go talk to the Dundas Council because they would need to approve that as well, and it would have to go to the voters. We're looking at 70% of the proceeds of that over the 20-year period of the sales tax that would be in effect. Basically, it's in addition to whatever the state sales tax would be is what would be the local tax, which is allowed by state law. You have to get their approval. But 70% would go to this project, then we're suggesting that 30% be dedicated to other kind of regional park-related improvements yet to be determined, because we know there are other park needs out there. The last piece would be a City of Northfield property tax that would be kind of closing the gap of the last funding piece of that. So ultimately what's being suggested is it would be posed to the voters. So that's what the council would be charged with, is clarifying issues and then deciding whether or not they'd be supportive to put the question out to the voters. And May 1st would start that. There are legal mm-hmm. writing of the questions that would have to be done in more details to come forward that they would be giving direction on. But ultimately we'd find out the formal position of the council on the 1st of May.
Okay. Now, under these plans that you had mentioned with the sales tax and the property tax, would the city government be paying for this new arena? Would there be private funds involved? How would this be funded overall? Who's paying for what?
You want to cover that on the recommendation?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So really, I guess from a broad perspective, the goal would be is that the two sheets, so the cost difference between the 15.7 and the 21.2, so that gap would be covered by really donations and private fundraising and the sale of the existing facility. So it's really funding of a one-sheet community arena with the private fundraising making up the difference between the one sheet and two sheet, along with like the sale of the arena.
All right. Now, I'm presuming, and I'm sure that there have been studies done on how this is going to make money. Of course, we've got Northfield, and we've got, folks, you can talk with anybody who has a kid in hockey, and they'll tell you stories about the other 10-year-old getting done with practice at 10 o'clock at night or going to practice at 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever the case may be. But, and often they involve other towns. Would we be able to rent that and get some good revenue from, let's say, Farmington, some of the surrounding the communities as well?
Yes, Jeff. So really one of the things that we looked at is really from an operational perspective is looking at, you know, the expenses and the revenue that we're bringing in. And really that's cost neutral. There is about 200 hours that would need to be brought in from the outside market, or rates from the users would have to be adjusted to keep cost neutral. One thing that we have to keep in mind is, you know, we have more control over what happens locally versus what's happened in the secondary market in Farmington and what's going on, because certainly Farmington or other communities could build a sheet of ice at a different time and then you could lose that revenue. So really the financing and operation and revenue would be covered locally from the primary users for the two-sheet arena, but certainly we have the ability to capture more revenue to probably operate at a better position and instead of being neutral.
All right.
There's some other discussion the council had related to that too, is that you know, part of our goals too, as we talked about, Dave talked about the economic impact, is we'd be looking at trying, this was really kind of an economic driver too, that we'd be able to expand tournaments by having a two sheet. Potentially, if Olaf had some open times, we could even have three sheets available with tournaments going on, which could hopefully bring people to town. If we get people to town and they're spending money, that could increase the sales tax and that could decrease the cost on the property tax gap that we have. So it's kind of an economic development strategy about recreation. People put money into their kids and are willing to invest in that, and they do a lot of traveling and spend dollars in those communities where this is happening. So trying to capture that, and Northfield's a destination from a place where people want to be, because it's a beautiful town and it's got some unique amenities to it. Also with the location of the facility, I think as we look down in that area, we've certainly got growth development area that this might help stimulate some private development in the immediate area. Dundas as well, kind of down the road, I think has some opportunity with that, where you've got the dome. So you've kind of got a little bit of recreation sports kind of capacity down in there. And I think the other thing too is I know Todd Bornhauser with the Chamber has been an advocate for the Civic Center type uses. So I think the current facility, due to its conditions and problems with it, make it a little harder. In the new facility, if the two sheet were to pass, would also have a lot more time available where we could look at other conventions and shows, things that could be happening in there to hopefully bring some people in. I know the home show happened this last weekend. It was really well attended, but the one thing they often hear is the facility's not the best. It does have some limitations with it. It doesn't have temperature controls on off season and during events. You know, there are things that we challenged with as well, with bathroom capacities during games where they got to share it with the players and the fans. And so, you know, the economic kind of focus of it, I think, is important to this too. And the location of that, I think, makes a lot of sense from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Once again, Ben Martig and Dave Bennett are with us. We are talking a new ice arena. Let's kind of advance forward here for a little bit to find out a time schedule. Let's say everything gets passed. We give it to the voters in November, whatever they decide gets passed. When will we be playing hockey on the new ice sheet here in Northfield? What is the, the earliest date, or I don't know if there's a target date yet, but.
Good question, Jeff. When we really looked at, even with all the numbers, we projected that 2020 construction numbers. So really by the end of the year, you'd go out, you'd have the vote in November, and then we'd probably be moving right into design in 19. So you'd be looking at a construction breaking ground in 20. So you're probably looking, you know, that the 21 season mm-hmm. is when you're actually in the facility playing sports and hockey.
All right. And as far as the next step, it just goes to the city council on May the 1st, you say they'll be discussing that?
Yeah, we're going to make a request to go talk to the Dundas Council. So we're waiting for Mr. McCarthy on that and back to the council at the beginning of May. And then we're going to be doing some work after that following their direction.
All right. Anything else you'd like to mention? We're just about out of time.
I don't think so. Just thanks to Dave. I mean, he's carried a ton of weight. We've had a unique team with Dave. He's got some hockey experience. I've been involved in arena. Chris Heineman has worked with the Blaine facility at the Super Rink and a lot of different business and community members. I'll put a ton of time in over the last 19 months, and there's been a lot of information. We do have a website that's got all documented all their minutes, so if people want to dive in and learn more, they can do that, and we'll have more information coming forward.
Oh, boy. As far as the work goes, just the tip of the iceberg, guys. Keep going. Keep going. A lot more in the future. Thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you.
All right. That is City Public Works Director and City Engineer Dave Bennett, along with City Administrator Ben Martick. Terry's in local news in just a moment or so. McNiff News and a side of sports on the way.
Two people are under arrest in the death of a six-year-old boy in Fergus Falls. 40-year-old Bobby Bishop and 44-year-old Walter Weinhoff are in the Otter Tail County Jail pending charges. Police say there are clear signs the boy was the victim of abuse and neglect. The child was found unresponsive early Monday in their home and taken to a Fergus Falls hospital where he died. The victim and a sibling had been living with Bishop in Weinhoff. Bishop is described as a family friend, and the legal guardians of the kids live in Montana. Over the past 4 years, an average of 7 people died in work zone crashes, and more than 1,700 crashes occurred each year. This National Work Zone Awareness Week, MnDOT is urging you to pay attention in work zones.